It was simple and quick and very appreciated. And first of all, I want to appreciate that, Geshe-la. And I also want to welcome Tenzin Dorjila to begin helping us in our long transition for a long time to help us with translating Venerable Geshe-la's teachings. And until our translators in training in India, maybe they might be there training for another year. Just to let you know about translator program that Gananchartse Thupten Dargyeling is providing a sponsorship for at Gananchartse Monastery, so you understand the translation issue. We are wishing to every year provide to Gananchartse Monastery in India a sum of money that provides for 3 monks to go into training for English language training in Bangalore for 1 year, and then after that they go to Dharamsala for Dharma training in English Dharma words for 1 year, and then after that there'll be translators hopefully trained well to come to the West to translate for wonderful important teachers that we have. And we hope that this is a revolving kind of process that we can finance and help fund the monastery to do. So in our appreciation to Tenzin Dorjila, which I was asked by Geshe Lhasa Tsultram to appreciate him being here. He's worked so many years for Geshe-la, and a lot of his older students really appreciate that. And we wish to provide quality translation in the future, and that's why I wanted to mention the program that we're really trying hard to finance and provide for Gananchartse Monastery. Geshe Lhasa Tsultram is ill. As you know, we've got signs around the building. There's an upper respiratory infection going around, and I finished my antibiotics, so I can hold the microphone and talk, I think. I've washed my hands. So if anyone has to ask questions later, it's okay. I hope. Please be mindful, and please watch over your health and try and stay as healthy as possible during this cold weather time and potential illnesses. Announcement. Next Sunday, there will be no teachings in the morning at 10:30 in the morning. I'm not sure if there will be a meditation in the morning or not, but next Sunday, there will be no teachings because it is the anniversary of 2 years of our Venerable Geshe Gelson passing. And so in the evening at 6 p.m., is that right, Tenzin Dorjila? At 6 p.m., I kind of forgot, we will start an extensive soak offering for as an honor of Geshe Gelson's passing 2 years ago. And after that soak offering, which everyone is invited to come to, but it will be extensive, so please try to, you know, if you can, bring some flowers or some kind of small offering to add to the large offering that we hope to plan for. After that is over, there will be about a one-hour presentation of a program that Venerable Geshe Lhasa Tsultram, our managing director, has been working hard on preparing. It's really wonderful. I know you'll enjoy it very much. About a one-hour presentation we will show on a large screen here of Geshe Gelson's life. Then the next announcement I wish to make is the weekend of the 19th and 20th. On the weekend of the 19th and 20th, Venerable Tenzin Dorjila, sorry, it will not be able to translate that weekend because he has another outstanding commitment. So we've arranged for Lhasa Gelson from Northern California to fly down for Saturday evening's initiation on the Vajrasattva initiation. The Vajrasattva initiation is a blessing initiation. One can come and receive that initiation. There will be no major commitments with that initiation. It is a blessing to be able to receive the Vajrasattva permission to practice purification practices. If one wishes to do, they can learn about that and gradually take on that practice if they wish. But there's no hard commitment to start doing something the next day unless during the initiation Geshe-la changes his mind. But more than likely, it's a blessing. But the primary purpose for this is for in order to be able to bestow the Bodhisattva vows. A lot of people are registering or wish to register or are wanting to information about registering to receive an initiation from His Holiness on Yamantaka. And some of the commitments that entail that initiation revolve around commitments. One of those commitments is to receive the Bodhisattva vows. So people need to know about that, and we can share that information about Bodhisattva vows. That's not hard. You can study, you can look all about that on the internet. We will provide an information sheet on frequently asked questions on our website soon that lists them. And certain Sangha members of our center and older students can try their best to help you understand those in time. And then on Sunday the 20th, we have a remote translator from another state who will be calling in on the internet and translating for Venerable Geshe-la, where he will be talking about the Bodhisattva vows and starting a commentary on the 20th about the Bodhisattva vows. Taking the vows is one thing. Knowing what the vows are is another thing. And knowing the meaning of those vows is another thing. And one begins by taking them, and then they learn about them. And then you try your hardest to try in your lifetime to keep them, because it's all good. They're all good vows. They all relate to not killing other beings and being really good people and really good-hearted people. So it's important. I think that's the time for the initiation on the 19th. Pam? 6:30. My memory's kind of gone to a blank on times. 6:30, Saturday night, the 19th. The initiation with Bodhisattva vows will take place. And Venerable Lozong Gyaltsen will be the translator for that. He's a very incredible translator. He works very hard. He's flying down just that evening to translate that evening, and he has to fly back that night because he has to work on Sunday. He's works at a hospital as a nurse, and so he's got a big job to take care of people. I think that's all the announcements. 20th at 10:30, the normal starting time for the Sunday teachings. Questions?
This Wednesday is just a regular soul offering that we do once a month.
This Wednesday will be the last Wednesday night of offerings for the quick return for Geshe Gyaltsen and Venerable Lhati Rinpoche, who passed away. And this will be the final Wednesday night services that we do for that. And after the 13th, being 2 years, we will no longer be doing the Wednesday night prayer offering ceremonies for the quick returns of our teachers. That was the instructions by His Holiness to do for 2 years these practices, which we've been doing at Ganesharsi Dupten Dargye Ling. We please keep informed in the future about potential Wednesday nights. We are looking at trying to do something on Wednesday nights. It's quite special, but we're waiting for decisions to be made and so what that's going to be. So I don't have any way of announcing that at this time because I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. Any other questions? If you have any questions, feel free to come and ask me after the teachings, please. I don't want to take up so much more time. Oh.
Oh, yeah. My dear, my dear, my dear, my dear. Children have a class in the other side, so now you can excuse yourself. I would like to remind everyone to do your best to cultivate the most extensive and beneficial motivation that one could cultivate. You may cultivate what is known as the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation that takes into account the well-being of all other sentient beings. So you're basically seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So do your best to cultivate a proper motivation. So I will read certain passages just in the form of giving you oral transmission of the text.
So Tamze Lui Ni Kendi Ding
Geshe-la read from the bottom of page 137. Where it starts as, after you have trained your mind by means of the ordinary path, you must certainly enter the mantra path, because when you do, you will quickly complete the two collections, and so on. And he stopped on page 137, where we have the stanza called Purifying Body, Speech, and Mind. Such practitioners are fit for attainment by completing the collections that arise from the branch of concentration, they will quickly achieve the supreme attainment. This is the way of mantra. So he read from, that's the passage he read. And the explanation that's given is this, that ultimately we need to engage in the path of what we call advanced practitioner or the great, you know, person. And if that's the case, then the question is being asked, why do we need to really bother training our mind in the paths common with the small scope practitioner, or I would rather call initial level practitioner, and the intermediate or the middle level practitioners? Why need we need to engage in those common paths? And the answer to that question is because those practices constitute what we call preliminary practices, you know, for a serious practitioner to be able to engage in the path of Mahayana or advanced practitioners. And so what is involved in that process is where you have taken what is called jugdom, or the what we call vows related with engaging bodhicitta. Once you have received those commitments or the vows, then especially if one is of what is called sharp faculty, and has a very extensive attitude, meaning altruistic inclination, then such practitioners should eventually engage in what is called the tantric path, or the path of mantra or the tantra.
Yes.
As part of the conversation and the rationale why eventually we really need to engage in the tantric practice in the path is because once you have committed yourself to find complete enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, that's the commitment you have just made, and you're also engaging in the required practices of the six perfections or the paramitas, such as the perfection of generosity, dan paramita, and all the way to the jnana paramita, or the perfection of wisdom, then you know you must engage in the tantric path because you want to become Buddha as soon as possible, don't you? So the tantric is the quickest path that, bless you, you know, that leads you to that ultimate destination or the goal. Yes. Of course, in the text, it is acknowledged that everybody might not be, you know, ready to engage in the path of Tantra. And maybe everybody doesn't have the what called inclination to embrace the path of Tantra. So in which case, those who are not inclined to engage in the path of Tantra, I mean, they should, do their utmost to engage in the path of perfection vehicle or Prajna Paramita Yan, and dedicate themselves as best as they could to improve their state of being and to benefit many other beings by way of practicing what is called the six paramitas or the six perfections. So you really don't have to necessarily feel that I must go into Tantra at this point of time. You don't have to rush that way. You know, you just kind of prepare yourselves and do your best to improve your state of being by way of practicing the six perfections.
Of course, 담드 담아 송도진 개발되어 있는 자동을 대 마고를 차고 자동을 그래서는 라이언 비 자동 소셜 리얼리 디시나 이 디앙 비 연대지 하고 싶으신 유주로 제가 뒤서 자동 그 마고 된 여러 배고 그래서 뭐
So if one has prepared well and so one is ready to embrace the path of Tantra, then how should one go about that? You know, what is the process if you ask? Here is the explanation that first one must understand that cultivating proper relationship with one's spiritual master, the guru, is of utmost importance in the tantric practice. As you know that in general in Mahayana Buddhism or the practice of the Bodhisattvas, so much importance is given to cultivating proper relationship with the qualified spiritual gurus or the masters. You know, because that's too long for me to repeat 100 times. So say guru devotion. Okay, now don't get me wrong with that guru devotion, but we based on understanding. So one must understand that in Tantra, even much more importance placed on cultivating that kind of relationship with one's gurus. And then based upon what is explained in standard Tantric text or the treatises, then one can request a qualified master to give you whatever initiation or empowerment that's suitable to you according to that particular class of Tantra, because there are different classes of Tantra in Buddhism. Yeah. And so once one has received that initiation from a qualified master, one must do best to keep one's commitments, Tantric commitments. One must cherish one's commitments more than, as we would say, one's own life. We can put our life at risk, but we can't really put our commitments at risk. Yeah. And especially because there are many commitments involved, one must do best right from the beginning not to commit any of the root downfalls or the root transgressions. We call it sadhum, the fundamental transgressions. Yeah, one must do best not to do that. But if one were to transgress any of the root transgressions, there is a way to restore it. You know, how to kind of, you know, maybe take the same initiation again and restore it. But even then, in a sense, a damage has been made in your state of mind, and it will take longer time for you, for your spiritual development. So the best advice is, right from the beginning, do best not to commit any, what we call, root downfall or root transgressions. So in Tantric practice, we talk about fundamental commitments or the root. We talk about commitments. So we must not incur any root transgressions or the downfalls, as well as we must not break any secondary commitments as well. But if we happen to transgress any of those commitments, we must not let a day pass by as if nothing has happened. You know, we really do our best to do the needed confession. You know, we have to confess our transgressions so that we will be able to, able to purify our negativities.
So
So if one has received an empowerment into one of the lower divisions of tantras, okay, and so one need to cultivate the Tenzin Jinyen Zhu, the yoga with signs, okay, and that's the path one cultivates. As one progresses with that, then one cultivates what is known as yoga, which is the practice of the path without signs. Okay, so signless yoga and yoga with sign. So that's the kind of pattern practice in talked about in the lower divisions of Buddhist tantra. Because lower divisions of Buddhist tantra do not talk about generation stage practice and completion stage practice. Because those two stages, the generation stage and the completion stage, are talked about in highest yoga tantras, or what we call Mahanuttara yoga tantras. Okay, so if one were to engage in the path and practice of high yoga tantra, of course one has to first cultivate the path of generation stage, hearing in Tibetan, and then one has to practice the path of completion stage, or the Dzogchen. So that is the proper order. That is the process we need to follow as we engage in tantric practices. Now, that being said, probably you're wondering, like, okay, are he's going to explain any of those things? Well, this is what is mentioned. We are still in the Lamrim teaching, which is a common teaching. So we don't talk about ins and outs about tantric practice, in this particular setting. So when we look at the structure of the path that leads to complete enlightened state or Buddhahood, we have been talking about what is known as the three types of persons, or the three types of practitioners, if you will. Okay? Small scope practitioner or initial level practitioners, middle scope practitioners or the intermediate scope practitioners, and the great scope practitioners or the advanced scope practitioners. Okay? And so there's a proper structure to that path. Okay? Now, what is being explained here is that structure is not something concocted by Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa. He just made it all up. He thinks that's, something cool thing to do. He didn't do that. So, he cites here many what are called scriptural evidence or the sources based upon which, he has presented that particular structure of the path. So some of the texts that are mentioned here, first of all, is the lamp of path to enlightenment by great Adisha, called Bodhiprada Pratipam. That is the fundamental Lamrim text. Yeah? And there are many other Lamrim texts based upon that. Basically, all of them follow the same thing that the master Adisha has talked about. Okay. And then also Geshe-la read those two stanzas which are quoted from page 138, the source called Concise Method of Achieving the Mahayana Path. Okay? So he read those two stanzas, so basically again substantiating the fact that structure of the path that we have been talking about is really, it has, how should I say, source in those other authentic texts. Yes.
我的在这听着是什么的嘞？感觉上级没叫，可还是上级没叫，希望俺那边小子在的嘞？感觉俺那边小子都到的，那那小子都到过的，是干脱的，咱平我长寿到过的哇？就当感觉这不是真的？哎，你得来我头浪，你不讲，天学不是说被流失的，天学你个些，哎，你可你就进，现在你的天学重新你个做什么？嗯，做了没得，就我下死的，到底 他的基本整体，听说你干嘛上东国了哇？但其他总的总来的，这位老的就学的，现在现在没有，这里你这下子的科学叫做写，就来给老的教授，现在提示提示我，他感觉，本总把总就看呢，因果的总把作业他给你，可搞可都形成的，今天他也可能上什么就上了学吧，要么是吧？我听到因那边给他把作业这不提前那边的，就不学我那边给他，按照了别给他说现在第。
头大了，你不给说些这个，真的那他把东西是，全部也能上学，干嘛他呀？我第一个上了么多，上了现在没有，但是提出一位当代来，上了提起我跟中国人说，真正是我的，你这个搞了他，你说对吧？现在现在没什么，随便去能用啊，啥事的？我提的，我提这个主要现在，因为搞了他了，学过这些，我听着，嗯，现在他的工地区也被人把这利用过，感觉提出你干的用过么多，被套的干小学生咋来个嘛是吧？我提醒。
However wonderful it is to aspire for great enlightenment, aspiration in and of itself is not an adequate, you know, cause to become a Buddha or enlightened being. What is really, you know, really required is the need to engage in the required practices or the path leading to a complete enlightened state. So what is involved in that whole spiritual journey, if you will, towards enlightenment? Is where do we begin? Is we have to really reflect upon, as I mean, things are kind of pretty clearly stated in those stanzas on page 138, that we really need to reflect on the precious human rebirth that we are enjoying right now. Our life is endowed with those wonderful, 18 qualities, and because of that, this precious human life is greatly meaningful. But yet it's a very rare kind of life. When you lose it, it's going to be very, very hard to find it again. So we have to educate ourselves about these matters and reflect on them and develop that conviction. Yes, I cannot waste my precious human life. You know, it is so rare, yet greatly meaningful, and I can do a lot, with this precious human life. Whatever goal we have set for ourselves. Now, in the case of small scope or the initial level practitioners, the goal they have is that I want to achieve a good rebirth in the future, right? I don't want to fall into bad migrations. Okay? And then they do all the practices geared towards that. Okay? I will abandon negative karmas. I will create positive karmas. I will do all these practices so that, you know, I do not have to be reborn in a bad migration. Now, in the case of practitioners who are seeking liberation or nirvana, this is a higher level. We call the intermediate level practitioners or the middle scope practitioners. They said, okay, it's not enough just to be free from the bad migrations. I really need to be free from the whole samsara. That's the big, conditioned existence which brings a lot of suffering. And then do all kinds of practices, you know, in order to achieve freedom from samsara. And now in the case of advanced level practitioners or the great scope practitioners, they are even looking beyond nirvana or freedom from samsara. They are looking for complete enlightened state, that highest level goal. So that as their goal or the aim, then they do everything they do, practices and abandoning negativities, creating positive karmas, all of those things as a means of one's practices leading towards that goal, complete enlightened state. Small scope practitioners or the initial level practitioners, one of their primary practices to achieve their goal is to go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Okay? Because that refuge practice can prevent one from being reborn in bad migrations. Now, I mean, we could engage in the refuge practice as a common path, okay? A path common with small scope practitioners. And then we can also engage in the path common with middle scope practitioners, basically the three higher trainings, training in high ethics, training in higher concentration, training in higher wisdom, okay? And so through those trainings, then we can engage in the six perfections of the paramitas, you know, which constitute the practices of great scope practitioners. So by following these means of the practices, we can embark on a journey leading to a complete enlightened state. So the thing to remember here is the process that we follow, the path, is a gradual process or what we call graduated path. Yeah? So the things we just talked about. So we need to train our mind in all those practices, and so that we will be able to cultivate what is known as calm abiding or shamatha, mental quiescence, okay? And special insight or vipassana. And so by combining these two paths, shamatha and vipassana, or calm abiding and special insight, then we will be able to move towards complete enlightened state. Geshe-la is giving explanation on the stanzas from chapter on collections of concentration, on page 139. And so he read those stanzas, and basically what it says that for anybody who would like to follow Tantra or the Tantric path, one must cultivate Bodhicitta or the Bodhisattva's attitude. Okay? And in order to cultivate Bodhisattva's attitude, one has to really understand and reflect upon the suffering nature of samsara or cyclic existence. Yeah. We really need to work with our attachment to this life and all things attached to this life. Yeah. And then also we need to work with our attachment to pleasures in samsara in general. Yeah. And so as we train our mind in these particular areas and then cultivate Bodhisattva's attitude, and then we can request for tantric empowerment or initiation. And having received it, as I explained before, we really need to keep our tantric commitments intact. Okay? And if we do this, all of these things, in this proper order, then we will be able to accomplish what is called siddhis, or the attainments. And the highest attainment is to become a Buddha. Yes.
他的尼巴地方尼巴胳膊这个他尼巴胳膊这个人是呢，就说给他基本胸针胸骨那基本胸部那么些的，基本胸部那么些的，切不少么？基本胸针的头毛那么些吧？他你想就说下去那些，我提醒你，但是基本胸针个那么的，基本胸部那么些，我这么也拉的嘞，那他不管基本胸部那么管他考上吧？这些那这个胸针头毛的这点骨没多啊，是那我提炼的，他搞的是那，是那。 几部说是写的，提拔了胳膊羡慕你哟，是他讲的，别个几部，他就是提拔羡慕困难嘛，对吧？因为群众头目几部说就管的，是不？因为得了有胳膊羡慕你哟，是。你讲的是，你几部群众呢？头目，老马家班，老马家班呀，让你几部羡慕，开车为是，我们俺家学班当，老长征。
So Geshe Lhasa read that question under the caption "The Purpose" on page 139. So the basically question, if you rephrase it, what it's saying is that why can't we just start right from the beginning? Engage in the Mahayana path. Why do we have to really go through the paths common with small and middle school practitioners? And here the answer, the response, it says there are at least two good reasons, okay, why we need to do that. And the number one is hypothetically speaking, I think, even if, one were to be able to, make some progress, entering into the Mahayana path right from the beginning, that might generate certain amount of ego or the arrogance in one's mind, as if that, I didn't have to go through all those things, I'm just kind of a cool and great, so I can start right from the top, without coming from the bottom up, right, you just start from the top. So there's some kind of just, arrogance and ego, that become an obstacle. And but also when we really look carefully into the practices, reflecting on the suffering of the three bad migrations, reflecting on the suffering of samsara, all of these are ways to cultivate compassion for other beings, right? That really connects us with all other sentient beings. So that helps us to really deal with our ego, because basically, we are no better than anybody else. It's just, but if we don't train our mind in all those things, there is a possibility that we become an egomaniacs, right from the beginning. And the second reason is that when we follow the training or the structure of the path as presented, we train our mind in the paths common with the small school practitioners, then the paths common with the middle school practitioners, and then follow the path of advanced or the grade school practitioners, we are able to see how these different practices really facilitate, complement, our spiritual developments.
Okay. 기부공만이스나
So, you know, training our mind in the paths common with small and middle school practitioners, actually it really augments our, you know, practice of the advanced level practitioner. It's not an obstacle in any sense. You know, because, you know, what we really need to realize is even those who are seeking liberation or nirvana for themselves and complete enlightenment, they also need to find a fortunate rebirths, right, precious human life, over and again. Because by finding those precious human lives, one can, you know, advance in one's practices over many lifetimes, you know. And so working for a fortunate rebirth is, in a way, augmenting our spiritual development. It's not creating any rift or controversy or, you know, obstacle on the way. And as Geshe-la quoted another kind of a passage from his memory, where basically it says that in order for us to make a great advancement towards our ultimate goal, we need to find what is called a very appropriate life basis, the kind of life, suitable life basis that can help us to advance in our spiritual development. So the kind of life which we are enjoying now is, as a matter of fact, you know, the most suitable life for making spiritual progress.
You know, training our mind in that complete structure of the path we call the practices of the three types of persons or the practitioners, that is really very kind of in one way the safe way to follow the path to enlightenment. Otherwise, let's say in the case of someone with the spiritual inclination of a small scope, so basically, he or she is just seeking a good rebirth in the next life. Okay, that's all the spiritual inclination he or she has. Now, if we were to somehow guide this kind of, you know, person right into the advanced level practice, that would be too much for this person. So he or she will neither get that nor this part, so has nothing left, you know. So we're completely depriving these, you know, individuals of any spirituality or practices, you know, because advanced level is too high for them. And then we didn't really teach them the practice that is suitable to their level. So they will find in a very strange kind of a position, neither here nor there, and nothing, you know, in their mind. So we do not want to make that kind of a, take that risk or give a wrong guide. No.
Wrong karsa ngondo tsu bi ge nyizo de ge de sim jang cha na ko khombe du ge sik jang ma za ne ko sa di ge ra bas se de tu ya chi yo za ko ji bu chi mo lam ya do ya de le ya in ko le ji ge de ju wo ra ma du ji khoma khoma ti be le ya ken de du ge bu de ge lu du ge ma se in so zo lam ni jang du ma re se wo le
no ji mo de For those who have the spiritual inclination of a great scope or the advanced level, there's no harm in leading them from the very beginning from the path common with small and middle scope, because there's a lot of qualities and knowledge and to be gained. Okay? And by developing those qualities, as a matter of fact, those qualities can augment, as we were talking about before, one's spiritual development on the advanced level. Also, when we look at the life story of historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, as it is said many times, that Buddha gave all kinds of teachings in, taking into account the needs and the spiritual inclinations and capacities of different individuals. Yeah, so that's why when Buddha was alive, he taught about all kinds of things, and now which are classified or categorized in the teachings of what we call Theravadin Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. Yeah, Buddha didn't say, okay, I'll teach only one kind and that should be good for everybody. He didn't say that, He just taught according to the needs and the capacities of different individuals. Yeah. Now the same reason applies here with Lama Tsongkhapa's presentation of this Lamrim teaching. Yeah. So he's giving a kind of a generic presentation where he presents the structure of the path that consists of the practices of the three types of persons. Yeah. Because some have inclination of the small scope, others have inclination of the middle scope, and others have inclination of the advanced scope. Yeah. So in order to suit the needs of everybody, so that structure of the path really makes sense. And then, as you can see on page 140, there is passage from the questions of the royal lord of Formule, or Dharani Ishwara Raja Paripucha text. And basically, he is analogy or example given how someone who is skillful in dealing with jewels, in refining jewel, it is said that he or she follows this threefold process. The jewel need to be refined at maybe three different stages. Yeah. In the same way, the structure of the path that we've been talking about, in the sense that how do we prepare all of us at these three different levels, right? From the initial level to the intermediate level to the advanced level, level.
Rim
So Geshe-la read that one stanza from Arya Nagarjuna on page 140, and also the passage from Great Indian Master Asanga. Okay. So now the explanation given here is this. Where am I? In order to attain nirvana and complete enlightenment, you know, one must achieve a precious human life. Okay, without this life basis, there is no way to work for achieving either nirvana or enlightenment. Yeah. And so it is possible that, you know, one works for achieving a good rebirth, as we would say, and then maybe work to achieve nirvana from samsara. And then one realizes that that is not the end of everything, right? There's something more to achieve beyond that. Then one might pursue complete enlightened state. Okay? So that's the one process we can see, you know, clearly from the beginning. And so that's what's talked about in the Nagarjuna stanza. And in the Asangas, in the passage, you know, he says that, you know, the proper way to lead ordinary sentient beings, the people, that means us, okay, is, you know, start off with easy things first. Okay, don't twist their brain from the beginning. But they didn't say exactly that, twist their brain. But, you know, just, you know, start with the easy to understand things. You know, talk about, you know, the wonderful nature of the human life and how fortunate you are and how great and meaningful it is and all of those things. And then slowly talk about, while this rare thing you have, you can easily lose it as well. There's such thing as impermanence, right? So you slowly, kind of skillfully lead, you know, the ordinary beings through the stages. And then once they reach the level, you think, okay, now I think they are really quite interested to seek nirvana or, you know, freedom from samsara. Then you teach them the path of the middle school practitioners. Yeah. And then as they go through that, you see that, okay, now it seems like they are quite inclined to work for enlightenment, right? Okay, then talk about bodhicitta here. Yeah. And then guide them into the bodhisattva practices. So that is really a proper, a meaningful order to follow, you know, to guide ordinary people like us.
Yes. Tam zobe sanji ge ge ba kin du song she ba tang se o de ro se dong ini ngontok kenza dokja de bang za ri ji shom ja ja za ra ma wa de na ge ni san yi shu sung de zang di ja su be kam de ma ba ge ka ka ge ini che ni dang bo de ge ka ji ma mi ma de ni nu ju su de shu de de ni chu ji le wo de ge dang he de song xia si wen zha wo de ji.
So Krishna read that stanza from Arya Deva's lamp, which is a compendium of deeds. So basically what it says is, as I was explaining to you before, that for any of us, or for that matter anybody, to engage in tantric path, we have to start with the perfection vehicle practice. Okay, Pranjana Paramita practice first. Okay, that's the really right order. We cannot jump right into tantra. We have to train our mind in the six perfections and so forth, and prepare us as well, and then we can engage in the tantric path. And so that stanza tells us that, you know, if we use the staircase as a metaphor, right, there are, you know, steps in the staircase, that rungs in the ladder. So you start from the bottom and climb up, right? You cannot, you know, do a hopstick jump on your staircase and go get on the top, right? It is, there is the whole reason how the steps are laid out. So in the same way, for us, the way we are guided into the practices, first the teachers might, you know, give us teachings to prepare our mind, to ripen our mind stream. Okay? So when our mind is very ripened, in Tibetan it's called minpa, then they think that, okay, now they can teach us something more that can help us to liberate. It's called the liberating path. Right? So we talk about the ripening path and the liberating path. So first they give the teachings to ripen our mind stream, and then they might give us more teachings called liberating path that we can adopt and liberate ourselves from suffering. No. On page 141, we have a stanza from 400 stanzas, where it says, initially you stop the non-meritorious. In the middle, you stop the misconception of self. Finally, you put an end to all bad views. One who knows this is an adept. Now, a teacher who can guide us in this way is a very skillful teacher. Because what really need to be taught at the beginning is, you know, not to do any negativities. Okay, that is, the simple thing to start. So once we have learned that well, and then they can show the path that is common with the middle scope, you know, how to deal with grasping itself, etc. So then we move into the advanced practice where we learn about the technique to be able to get rid of all the wrong views, if you will, okay, and then find our complete enlightened state. So guiding someone in that way is a skillful way to do.
Yes. In the Tigan Tsung Goyag, Tweedin Sajj, in the Tibanshin Rogovizu, Tamoko, Timant Vios in Koso Yarado, in the Tweedin Majav, the end called Soya Mugayomara, or did not see her, that can you let Tambo, Tambo Nurusia, and Jibu Sumusia, didn't think she lambia John in Tipashable Chigina, in the period. To
And Geshe-la read that one stanza by the master Marti Chita, so which uses another kind of example or a metaphor where someone who wants to dye a piece of cloth, but has to make sure that the piece of cloth that you want to dye is, you know, really pure of stains. You know, so you need to go through that process. And then you have to first start with a base color or something that can really stabilize whatever color you're going to put on it. So it's a whole process that one has to follow. So in the same way, if you follow the path as laid out, starting off with a path common with small scope, and then with the path common with middle scope, and then go into advanced practice, we are following the proper process. So on page 141, it says, citing this passage, the great master Chandrakirti also held that the path has a definite order. Since the order we use in guiding others along the path clearly is very crucial for their practice, reach firm certainty about this method. So basically saying that, you know, many masters have conversed on this method, that we have to follow this proper structure of the path. Yeah. So we need to really develop if we will confidence, you know, in the structure of the path that we should follow, that we should adopt.
Karsa, Tibet, then you wouldn't be should go at them, you would live with that, you would share live with Saji, you didn't go any hit that in Dosarwa, that you would tell to that you will live with Susa that you got in this pitch day showing Santa. Then that's because you should go along to more than go to that, didn't you go in that? Did you mind didn't go to that?
Yes. Something I left from the previous one. So I think training our mind in a proper order is very important, because as much as we love to develop compassion and understand emptiness, I mean, there's no shortcut way to just jump right into compassion and emptiness. We have to, you know, go through the initial process and leading to developing compassion and wisdom. That's what Geshe-la said. I kind of left that one out from the previous explanation. And so with that, I think we come to the end of a particular section. I think on the next page it says mindfulness of death. So we will continue that, you know, next time. Okay. And again, thank you. Did you show me? Okay. Any questions?
We always talk about benefiting. It says by whatever virtue I have gathered here, may I beneficially serve other sentient beings. In what way do we want to benefit them? Only like spiritually, that eventually everybody becomes enlightened, or in more mundane things? What are we hoping for?
Okay. 땅 안에 비게 된다는 것 신대 나라 인한 수수 개와 가리 사와 되게 되게 엔셈쟁 그 되는 두고 쇼스 라이즈 고아 체저로 와 되는 두스야 디 땅다 디 지 쇼저 그 되는 두는 에너지 고라 림치 타바다 탐지 집 고마 타바스 라고라 얀테 편도 용어 쇼스 디 얀치다 편도는 여러와게 지대베 편도 시기여로 와 대치대 근데 됐어다
다 페이지 강가 두고 이제 저 제철 문의 소는 못 되다 되게 타바 탐지 개 먹을 편도야 되게 저 되다 되다 내가 편도야 되다 미 심지 편도 늘어 되다
Valgeshwar feels that when we dedicate our marriage for the benefit of all beings, right? We want to benefit beings. Of course, our ultimate really motivation is, you know, we want them to be able to achieve liberation from samsara and achieve complete enlightened state. Yeah. But at the same time, I think that benefit could also include the temporary benefits. You know. But in the meantime, until we achieve liberation and enlightenment, you know, whatever benefits that we talk about, you know, the positive benefits, you know, even in an ordinary sense, so we are really wishing others to have those benefits.
Yeah. Thank you, Gajala. Mm. It's said that you have to establish a proper guru relationship mm-hmm. With the guru. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to establish that relationship with mm-hmm. With a guru that you have never met? For example, like His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
I have never met him, but
mm-hmm.
how do I establish that relationship with him
okay.
if I never received teachings from him physically?
Sure. Tanda da shinyi tenzu de gejim bu shum de gorwa ge. Sizu ga shinyi tenzu se de shinyi so so tia de so so da cha ne ka so tanda ngwe so je ma yung ge. Ene ji shum ge te ko ga ma jung ba de din de la shinyi ten chog ro sa ne ga ro mu jiru shiro wa. Ko ra san je ma nyu tanda shum ju shu ma nyu shiro wa. Ene da kun de so so ke we shinyi ji ne ji de wa ro sha di de che tu go ro so du ge. Shinyi de se de.
Ye shinyi ji se je da te wa de da shu ni me na se le na yong de da cho ro wa.
No ne.
Di shinyi de se de fi je shu ni me ni shinyi de se ni fi ji ai yo. Je da te wa ji ge yu ke wa ji te wa ji so mo so wo ri kan ju so sa wo da.
I think we probably want to look at these two things. You know, we can cultivate faith, right, in someone we have never seen yet or heard him or her speak about. Yeah, so developing faith in the holy beings, in the realized beings that we have never met so far is possible. But when we talk about cultivating the spiritual bond or relationship with the guru, I think this is really based on the fact that you receive teachings, right? That you can see someone and you can receive teaching from that person. Yeah, so if one has never met someone, I don't think it's kind of hard to talk about, you know, developing that spiritual relationship. Yeah, but one could develop the faith and respect in such individuals. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Lynn wants that.
My question is, how mm-hmm. do you develop compassion? Because, for example, you know, when I see someone who keeps doing wrong things that bring negative consequences to themselves and others, mm-hmm. and they keep doing it, I think I become angry and not mm-hmm. compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, as a concrete example, I work in the hospital
mm-hmm.
where there's a pregnant woman who keeps taking drugs. I mean, mm-hmm. she doesn't have any of her kids mm-hmm. with her, and she's a diabetic, and mm-hmm. she's pregnant, and she's in and out of the hospital all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point, I just feel like, well, there's nothing we can do for
mm-hmm.
for people like for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you lose a sense of compassion. So
okay.
what is the method of developing sure. compassion?
Quran kan de shu de de wa gen. Ta ngaz pe na jing ning ji ge gua chi ge wa gen. Ji ji ka la da ning ji pe na de de yung du sa da ji ge mo ra sa shen la ga de men ga ge la ga wa gen. De li ya an ki me de du ma che so bu ge yung ji. Ta ne mo ra le ji ni na za ji ye che. yena da bu ge de de ta ma ye da tung ge so wa gen. Ta ta ma ye da ma dun ka de la ve ne mo ning ge yo ma wa. ka si ye da ta na mo ra su bu le ni go bu go le ni go wa gen. ha ni de da de ka la an che ma si da lo ge de ka la da ning ji ge so ko ya ma la si wa gen. ta kong zu zu yin go le si wa gen. ta ka ro ne ge ni ka le la ne ko pe ge min du da ya ma la ge ra de de ning ji ge ko go la de zi de ni de ka du le ya ji ning chong da le su lo chong da le ka le yo le si da.
And what you have really asked is a very important matter and a very practical question. And so that's why in the Buddhist literature, we talk about how even for an ordinary bodhisattva, there is a risk to lose his or her bodhicitta when you encounter such a kind of a, how should I say, okay, don't get me started on this one. But anyway, such unruly beings, who never seems to listen to even the good advice you're giving. So if a bodhisattva thinks that, forget it. How can I work for all sentient beings? There's one irritating person here, and this never listens. Yagadi, yagadi, yagadi. I just can't do it anymore. Yeah. So when you really think that, you kind of give up in your mind that I can't do it anymore. It's just their business. I'm giving up. That's how a bodhisattva, an ordinary bodhisattva, could lose bodhicitta. So there's really definite risk involved in that. So what Geshe-la really wants is, in this particular situation, we should check our state of mindset. We should not give up in our mind. You might say, okay, it's very difficult to do, deal with this person I have been dealing with, but I'll still find other creative ways or different ways to have some kind of positive influence on this person. If the person doesn't listen, but still I'm not going to kind of become a lazy and give it up, So of course, I have nothing to do with you. So if we do that, then we lose compassion and the opportunity to develop compassion. So we have to keep in our mind that, I'll just keep on trying as best as I could, and so it might work. Okay. So we have to keep our courage up. We told you it's not easy. I'm just kidding. Yeah. The mic is on the way.
That's okay. Yeah. Could you explain what root impressions are? Mm-hmm. Are they any form of negative activity?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my question is about root infractions or root transgressions, I think you call them. What's the difference between that and just a regular negative action?
Okay, sure. So the question, of course, she used the mic, so I don't need to repeat it. Can't it issue with the wa? Tatagin anzu tsadung chi shebra wa, gen tsadung gu ju yoma chara wa. Tsadung laya di da, ta nam yung anzu migib chi da chaya chara wa. Chi da ki migib chi da, ta tsadung mangwe se da, ta di gara keba yore sko.
Tiri ta tsadung se de, kora lega se chikwa de, ta nga da shangsung donba, ini soda donba tiri me na, kwa dikwa de ma, tsawe to ma gesha kaya ma wa. Se ta donba ngang du zang, ta vene,
Yes, we use this term called root downfall or root transgression in Tibetan Sattva. So we talk about that in the context of bodhisattva vows. If you have taken bodhisattva vows and commitments, and we talk about we must not incur any root transgression, which means there are certain vows which are of primary importance, so we must not break those vows. If we do that, we have created the most serious negativities, if you will. Yeah, and those are the language we use in the context of commitments that we take. Either it's the bodhisattva vows or the tantric commitments. But if we have not taken any commitment as such, but the kind of negativity we, end up doing. So that is the, usually we don't use the language called transgression. It is like creating bad karma, negativities like that.
More question?
Sure, yes.
Okay. If you have somebody in your life that kind of you know, is negative or attacks you constantly, mm-hmm. and you use patience, mm-hmm. you know, and silence sometimes so that it doesn't, you know, alter your mind, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word, mm-hmm. And try to keep, you know, calm. But if that continues over a long period of time, mm-hmm. maybe years,
yeah.
would it be proper at this time mm-hmm. to use action against that and more direct action against, you know, that person? And I'm not talking about, you know, anything illegal or physical, mm-hmm. but like maybe legally or, you know.
You mean like legal separation kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about? When you said action, what do you mean?
Yeah, maybe legal action what? Against that person or things okay. like this that can potentially not hurt the person, but like get that person to stop her okay. actions.
Oh, I see,
Do you see
okay.
what I mean?
Okay, okay, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Quran desu gudu gen, kandi shuya shuya rwa. Pena da jik sosol ya mili dewa ma gu yung go rwa gen. Ane ka jik dewa da sosol ishi ra chak ba dewa yung jar rwa. Yama sosol jik da kasi di kontro chuk yung di nek dewa shi chak dewa rwa gen. Da de yun rungu rwa chin, da lo jik slobo dene, yun rungu chin de yun as rwa gen. Then I'm just such a chick love the way that in their cover in a pen that she get Casso again. Similar summers on my image, team W. in Arawaga, team Gitona, that's his, Dinde Laglenta, Yoravaga, Soto, the name of the Togdi Majada, what Dinde Tablan 7, Digger, Digger, Marista. That young name that gets the Chema Casabena, team D. Yoris, Rogan, Dinde and Digger, the Minister.
Tim Gitona,
Kandes, Kandes, that man again, Tim Giton Lyra, but that man is social, she has Sumbu Sotaka, then you know, she would charge it. Then I am Tim Giton Lyra, or Midi Yamamalan, then that's what I mean. The Panada Dinda Lamas again, here come back to Yoncho, my said, Tim, you can't get the mayor again on the nation degorus.
That thing on the social piece, the Moody Chino, that called Padu will be never give a talking to the big girl called for Janda, that's what have you did your
own.
That is the time when I'm going to be a business of Bushina. That's the time when I'm going to say, I'm
going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I was trying to, you know, clarify a little bit more about the legal explanation. So what's this legal thing you're talking about, right? For example, if somebody is kind of a, well, this is what I said, basically, just to make sure that if somebody try to make sense and the person doesn't understand, then I said, you know what, I might invoke certain law that you cannot come within certain yards, you know, within me, because there are some laws, right? I said, you cannot come perimeter, something like that. And Geshe-la said, yeah, what really asks, you know, what we should keep in our mind is, in our heart, we should not have any harmful, you know, thought towards that person. Yeah, but we can then adopt without any animosity, hostility, negative state of mind. Then we may be skillful in talking, having a conversation. Right? This is what you have been doing, and this is really very annoying. Whatever, I'm not comfortable with. You can talk through all those things, and as a part of that conversation, if the other person is kind of stubborn, you say, you know what? Well, so, you know, then there are those illegal issues. Maybe I might end up having to, right, use one of those things. You can have conversation as skillful means to keep the person at distance. Is that working with you, sort of? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, maybe we'll stop there today. I have an announcement to make to the day charge again. This is our condition. Well, since I'm back as a transition translator, I don't know for a while, until your monk translator comes. You know, one of the ideas, you know, I have kind of suggested to Geshe-la, which Geshe-la kind of open, but he wants to ask you so that if you would like that, then we will follow that. Otherwise, you know, we don't need to do it. So here's the idea I suggested, that which is very non-traditional in some sense, that because I know there are a number of advanced students here, and so I thought maybe how about alternating the Sundays, like one Sunday we will continue the Lamrim as, you know, we go through now. But another Sunday we will probably start off with the calm abiding section of the Lamrim. And from that we will progress on to the special insight section, right, towards the end of the Lamrim. Because otherwise I think what Geshe-la might have said before is that we may never get there during his stay here. And he's really not kind of a really worried about that. He thinks that the things he's talking about now is really practical insights and wisdom, helpful to people. People can practice it, but how many can really put into practice in the things we will talk about, vipassana and calm abiding, all of those things, however important they are. So now I'm kind of taking a chance here, because I'm back here, so I thought maybe just to be able to address the needs of the different levels of students. Okay. So I said, you know, if it works with you, that one Sunday we will continue the lumbering in the same order we're doing, but every other Sunday we might start off with come abiding shamatha section of the lumbering, and whenever we finish that, okay, Buddha knows that, and then we move into the special insight section, right, the vipassana section. Is that something, I mean, interests you or not at all? What do you think? Show of the hand, maybe, so that I can see. Okay, so yeah, that's fine. You know, he's just kind of responsive to you. So what basically means is this, just to simplify this, you know that, well, you already made the announcement, right? Next Sunday, we don't have a teaching. We're observing Geshe-la's anniversary, right? And the weekend after that is Geshe-la's giving Vajrasattva blessing and Bodhisattva teaching, right? Then the following Sunday, that will be the third week from now, maybe we will start off. That Sunday will become abiding section, and then the next Sunday we'll go back to this one. So we're going to alternate between these two different levels, right? We're trying to teach the same lumrim, but at two different levels. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so we'll alternate every other days like that. Okay, so that might also address the needs of some of our advanced students. You know, we go through the come abiding and special insight, and the new students can also feel like, okay, there is a light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. I'm just kidding. You know. That's just my footnote. But yeah, with those again.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you
mm-hmm.
help us facilitate mm-hmm. how to promote that onto our website and mm-hmm. put it into our calendar?
If that's where I can, you know, probably write a 2-sentence or something somewhere there. Yeah, we're happy to. Yeah. So basically, I think after 2 weeks, you know, that Sunday will be come abiding, and then we will alternate like that. Go back to this, then, you know, come abiding, go back to this. Okay, we will alternate that. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm
going to go to
Yeah, Kishala said that depends on like the Bodhisattva teaching. If we finish that, then that's how we're doing. But if Bodhisattva vows to take a little time, it will take a little more time to finish that one.
With the page marker aspect in the book, you'd be able to...
Okay, yeah. Because right now, we just stopped on page... where is that? That must be... what is this volume? This is one. No, I don't know the English volume because I've never read the English one. But I'm guessing the Calm Abiding probably is volume 3, I think.
Yeah,
Calm Abiding and I think volume 3, yeah, probably.
So you
yeah.
need 2 volumes in order to keep up with this.
Right, if you, yes. Ultimately, you need all the 3 volumes, you know, so, okay. So we stopped on page 141. Right, and it says mindfulness of death. That's where we will catch up, you know, when this turn comes next time. Okay, no stone on this. And red. Okay, that was no. Back to our Chan master.
Joy, O peerless Savior and Supreme Teacher, Shirodhana's son, O the 17 masters and adepts, Nagarjuna and Asanga, and so on, O Dipamkara, as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness on the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment you've traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline, and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray return gloriously to propagate the teachings of Lobsang by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precepts and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings, engage in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient beings who are enveloped in the forces of five degenerations, and to open wide the lotus grove of the Buddha's teachings. May your reincarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He has raised the parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace.
You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings.
You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure, enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossomed lotus that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa. By the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Mm.
Nam mô vô song cứu độ chí tôn bổn sư Tịnh Phạn Thái tử. Nam mô 17 cao tổ chư hiền thánh tăng long thọ vô trước. Nam mô Di Ca Pa cùng tông cơ pha tôn vương tử phụ. Quang lâm đương chốn hiện tại hiện tiền ban truyền phước nhũ. Thênh thang đạo lộ trực chỉ chinh tâm kinh tánh đẳng giác. Ngài đã siêu việt do nghiêm túc giữ ba tạng giới luật, rồi lại phát huy bay bổng tuyệt vời bồ đề hạnh chứng. Tôn sư quang vinh tứ chúng thỉnh cầu gõ sen lễ lại, xin mau trở lại quang vi huyền bá giáo pháp lô sang, bằng sự thắt chặt đa giới nghiêm minh thiền môn tự viện, rồi lại khởi tâm từ bi đại nguyện giải thoát chúng sanh, tin chuyên hành trì du già mật định nhị phần chứng đắc, xin luôn thương tưởng thống khổ bất kham ba khỏi hữu tình, thường bị bao phủ trao đảo khôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trược, đưa tay rộng mở bát ngát sen giáo lý Phật Đà, xin mau tái sanh nhanh chóng hiện hành phưởng cồn tứ chúng. Nam mô vô biên chư Phật chư Bồ Tát, các ngài thị hiện bát ngát báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần, xin trải từ tâm ân cần phù hộ, mưa thánh thủy từ mây đại độ, đủ huệ bi tịnh phổ rạng ngời, tận diệt thống khổ tước thời, niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cốt tủy uyên thâm của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lộng vòng pháp bảo, chăm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương, báu thân ngài chói nhòa phẩm hạnh, sao bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh biết chi, ngài từng trước Phật thể nghi, hứa luôn hoằng pháp làm vì độ sanh, nay ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn bơ vơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, lời tiên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, kế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương, lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi mỹ pháp lòng tà kín, tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uyên thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hằng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần, ươm sen hé nhụy hương lân pháp đàn, của tông khách ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thần lực tam bảo liên ứng, cho thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, cho tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Yeah.
Okay, can I have one quick word? So basically, you know, I can teach you with all the different levels. We're going to work on different levels, but everybody's welcome to all the teachings. Okay, I don't mean say that, you know, some Sundays you don't need to come, right? You can come to both Sundays. Sometimes you might be lost what we are talking about. Then you know we are in a different world. Right? Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Also, also make a quick announcement for those who are who signed up with College Chakra of Life. Can you please come see me after? Sorry.
Hello? Is that okay? I'm sorry? The other one? The other one? Hello? Hello? Hi. As I was saying, if you have signed up for Kala Chakra flights with us, can you please come see me because there's some information I need from you. We will be